This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
I think we're back. I think I hear myself. Do you hear yourself?
Nope, but that's no. Okay.
Okay, well, I can hear me.
Oh, there I am. Okay, now I can hear myself. So
we have no idea if the show's just starting or if we've been talking just for 6 minutes.
Just starting. We're just starting. Okay.
All right, we're just starting.
Reset.
We reset this whole thing? All right, well, if you're just joining us, Golf Talk Canada is 6 minutes late, and for some reason, we just went dead for 6 minutes. So
we hope this is the first time in Mark Sacchino's career he's been silent for 6 minutes.
Yeah. Now, if you're real regular listeners and you're in Southern Ontario, nowhere else in the rest of the country, I was speaking loud enough, and Bob can no longer hear out of his right ear. So we have a busy show. Let's reboot this entire thing. Casey Stein, assistant tournament director of the Porter Cup. They're playing the 58th Porter Cup at Niagara Falls Country Club. That's July 19th to 22nd. Austin Connolly is qualified for the Open Championship through local qualifying. He's joining us. He spoke to Bob earlier this week. We'll have that for you. Jim Kineski from the Southern Ontario Open, another big event in this part of the world. So it seems to be tournament day here on Golf Talk Canada. But let's get to news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Bob, the first 6 minutes of this show felt like the majority of my life. I felt like I was just talking to myself and no one was listening.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let's start again here. News and Headlines. Bones, Jim Mackay joining NBC Golf Channel as an analyst. Like you said, in the first 6 minutes, you think he'll do a good job. So do I. I thought he did a great job when he dabbled with this a bit last year. But you, I think there's more to this story, and I don't think we're ever going to get it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know if we, after 25 years, to sort of break up like that, and there was no real one particular reason apparently that happened. There was nothing that kind of, you know, was the last straw on the camel's back. But Phil and Bones just decided after 25 years they were going to end it after the U.S. Open, part ways. And it does seem like might be something going on there. But Phil's got his brother on the bag for the rest of this year, and then we'll figure out from there.
We'll go from there. Yeah, I just thought my gut reaction to this is if this was as mutual a decision and there's nothing more to this here, it probably would have been more of a farewell tour. Hey, at the end of this year, we're calling it quits. But to do it in mid-season with two majors left, my spidey senses are tingling, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right.
Sergio Garcia, gotta love Serge, wearing the green jacket to Wimbledon. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, when the guys win the green jacket that one year, they kind of get a victory lap. They get to kind of wear it and everything. Remember Mike Weir wore it at the Maple Leafs game?
And
he wore it a few other times.
Did
he
not drop the puck with the green jacket on?
He did. And Danny Willett last year wore it to Wimbledon as well. So it's the jacket has been to Wimbledon. And I saw he was sitting right in the Royal Box, Sergio,
with his fiance
and a few celebs.
Yeah,
who were there? David Beckham, I think, was a couple seats over. So it's,
who might as well be royalty? There,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, Rory, the host of the Irish Open, misses the cut. I love the fact that we're playing tournament golf, by the way, at Port Stewart.
Yeah, very nice.
Front nine is one of the greatest nine holes of golf anywhere in the world, hands down, not even close. It looks fantastic on TV, but Rory plays 2 days as the host, going home, handing off the Twitter account now to the wife. Is Rory just got too much? Is it just too much going on in Rory McIlroy's life, Bob?
I don't know he's just playing rotten golf. His wedge play was horrible this week, and he's fallen, to fourth in the world now. He's just not looking very, very good. We'll see what happens. He's playing the Scottish Open this week, and then, of course, the Open Championship. But you have to wonder kind of exactly what's going on with his game and with his mental approach to it.
Well, you know, I will speak to this from firsthand knowledge. when you are putting horribly and you are struggling with the flat blade, which has been the story for Rory, that in injuries for the last 12 months has been he's either hurt or he's putting poorly. And eventually, the confidence that you lose on the putting green and the problems with putting, they will bleed in the rest of your game. It is inevitable. You're not going to continue to stripe it like a god and putt like a blind man if it, and those things are going to coexist together. Eventually, it starts to decay and chip away at the rest of your game. And I'm just, listen, I'm not in the Rory camp. I don't know anything. I haven't spoken to anyone. But just from somebody who's been around it a long time, watched it a lot, and has had it happen to him personally, present at the present time, which we'll get to in Winners, Weird, and What later, do you think this could be what's going on?
Well, it could be. It's also a little bit like the Canadian guys coming home to the Canadian Open. You know, he's missed the cut four of the last 5 years. Now, the 1 year he didn't miss the cut was last year. He won. but I think when he comes back to Ireland, there's so much stuff going on in Northern Ireland or wherever they're, you know, this year obviously they're playing it where they are. But the fact that there's probably so much added stuff to do on his schedule that maybe it's just not the easiest time for him to kind of get his game in game shape.
Well, sure, and you're right. There is a lot more responsibilities. And he, in a way, he kind of saved this golf tournament, right? Sure. When they asked him for his involvement to come in, he started rallying some of his friends and some of his other, quote-unquote stars around him on the PGA Tour, encouraging them to come over and play the Irish Open. So I know it was a big deal for him. I love the lineup now, though, like the European Tour, and this is the Keith Pelly portion of it, the way they are aligning these tournaments geographically to lead into the Open Championship.
Irish, Scottish, Open.
That's boom, like, boom, boom. Makes That's so much great. Sense,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It sort of seems logical, doesn't it?
Yours truly off to John Deere next week at Silvis, Illinois, which is 3 hours west of Chicago. So basically, you catch a flight. I'll be catching a Porter flight from our Island Airport here in Toronto, landing at Midway, strapping on my bulletproof vest, renting my car, and driving 3 hours to the middle of nowhere to a very depleted field for PGA Tour standards.
Yeah, even Jordan Spieth not playing.
I was kidding.
Right?
Spieth backed out. And I think the quality of the field at the Scottish Open is going to be better. Yeah. I really do, Bob.
I think so. I think you're right. A lot of guys like to get over there, first of all, for time zone acclimatization and stuff. So it's a smart move by Pelly.
Well, speaking of strong fields, like we're going to have at the Scottish Open, when it comes to amateur golf, the Porter Cup is one of the strongest. The 58th edition of the Porter Cup happens July 19th in Niagara Falls. Casey Stein is assistant tournament director, and she'll join us next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino, Weeks. Lots of shows still to get to. Winners, Weird, and What. We're going to talk to Austin Connolly, who has qualified for the Open Championship. And we will get the leaderboard updates. And there are a bunch of Canadians in the hunt at the Greenbrier and have the opportunity to join Austin Connolly as well as Adam Hadwin in the field at the Open Championship in a few weeks. But speaking of big championships, one of the more prestigious, long-running amateur events in the world of golf is happening July 19th to 22nd, Niagara Falls Country Club, which is just south of us here in the province of Ontario on the other side of the border, just roughly in Lewiston, New York, or close to thereabout. The Porter Cup, it's actually the 58th edition of this long-standing prestigious event. Former champions include Phil Mickelson, Dave Duval, so who knows, maybe this year we're going to crown a champion who'll be a future world number one. Joining us now, Casey Stein is assistant tournament director of the Porter Cup. Good morning, Casey. How are you? No, we don't have Casey. So the
technical.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, there we go. We got you. Okay.
There we go.
We lost you for a second there. It's okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Casey. I guess we're only a few days away. You're assistant tournament director. Do the butterflies get going for you as well as the players now that we're only 4 or 5 days away from getting this year's edition off?
You know, a little bit. It does a little bit. You know, I think it gets the juices flowing a little bit more, and you get more excited. You get to get these players up here and get them playing, and once that Wednesday, that first round hits, then you're then you're all settled in and you're ready to go for the week.
So this has a wonderful field. Obviously, Maverick McNealy, who is, I think, number two amateur in the world, number one U.S. Player, and he's a big-name player. And a ton of Canadians in here, including some names that some people around here might know, such as Garrett Rank, who's from Elmira, Ontario, Josh Whalen, defending Ontario amateur champion Max Sear. It's quite an international field, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. We have seven All-Americans from the universities in the state, so that's a really good field. We have our returning champion in Harrison Endicott, who's from Australia. So it's a really eclectic field, and like you mentioned, the Canadians, we have nine of them in the field right now, probably should grow after the Ontario Amateur is played again next week. We have an exemption waiting for them. So, yeah, like you mentioned, Garrett Rank, Luke Mosier is in our field. He lost in our qualifier at the end of June, but he's a great up-and-coming player, and we wanted to invite him. Austin James, he's from Bath, Ontario, and he's part of the Golf Canada national team. So, yeah, it's like I said, it's a very eclectic field, and we're really excited about this year's event.
Casey, you mentioned your defending champion, Harrison Endicott. I did not know he was from Australia. I was actually speaking to Bob off the air. I was curious if he was actually coming back to defend his championship because, as you know, when you get to this level of amateur play, quite often the next natural progression is turning professional. So he's coming back. Can you tell us a little bit about him and a little bit about his victory last year?
Yeah, so we're really, really excited to have him back. We haven't had a defending champion come back in probably the last 4 years. So this is kind of a big deal. And like you said, yeah, most of them turn pro after they get they win at that next level. But Harrison's a great player. He's a great kid also. But he's been playing really well in Australia. He has a few top five finishes down there. And he's on the Golf Australia national team. So what they do every summer here, the summer here, because it's their winter in Australia, is they come over to the States and play in all the tournaments and try and get their name out there and, you know, learn how life is over here. And so when they're ready to make that jump to the web.com tour and then eventually the PGA tour, they're ready. So he'll be here all summer. I know he's playing in the U.S. Amateur as well, and we're really excited to have him back.
Now, Cassie, in addition to being the assistant tournament director here, you have another great laurel to your name in the fact that I believe, if I've got this correct, you are the niece of Jack Armstrong, our own Jack Armstrong here at TSN, correct?
That is absolutely correct. Yes, that is Uncle Jack to me. Yes.
Now, tell me about what it's like to have your uncle as Jack Armstrong.
You know, I've been telling a lot of people lately, like, he's a great guy. He's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet in your life, but come spend Christmas with us once. And then you'll understand Uncle Jack completely. it's a lot of fun to hang out with him. And I live in Lewiston as well, so we get to go up to a lot of Raptors games. And it's really funny to see him as, you know, Jack Armstrong and not Uncle Jack. Because when he's here, he's just a fun-loving guy down
in
Lewiston.
I heard a great story that you had a qualifier this last week, I think. And there were six Canadians who were involved in it, I guess. And it was a playoff, and it got delayed because of rain. So they billeted a few of the players, and a few of them got to stay at Jack's house. And from what I understand, they had a great night, maybe the odd beer here and there, and a lot of tall tales. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, so I cannot confirm nor deny that there were a few alcoholic beverages drinks, but yes, they did. So we had the qualifier on a Monday. It got delayed till a Tuesday, and like you said, I think there were three Canadians that wanted to continue and thought maybe they could advance to the actual tournament, and they got to stay at the Armstrong residence, which I'm sure was a blast for them, especially if they were Raptors fans.
Well, Casey, I got to tell you, he's Uncle Jack to everybody.
Yeah.
I
just said that. Up around this office.
Up around this office. That's just,
we love Jack.
Oh, so okay, it goes this Wednesday, and spectators are welcomed as well as free. Is that correct, Casey?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. More the merrier, please.
All right, so go down and check it out. It's at Niagara Falls Country Club. It is the 58th playing of the Porter Cup, July 19th to 22nd. Online, you can check them out at portercup.com. And the Twitter handle is at Porter Cup. That's at Porter Cup. Casey, good luck this week. We hope you have a wonderful championship, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, Mark, Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. This week, Bob, Greenbrier Classic is going on, and are you going to, okay, we're going to follow me on this now. The top four players inside the top 12 that have not already qualified for the Open Championship will qualify for the Open Championship.
That's correct. So now, there's a few spots left.
There are a few spots. So Nick Taylor right now is T7, David Hearn T12, Graham Dillette T12. Okay, so we have some Canadian flags. Never mind, Mackenzie Hughes is T22. So one of these Canadians, if not more of these Canadians, could join the gentleman we're going to talk to next, the gentleman you spoke to earlier this week, Austin Connolly, who qualified for the Open Championship through local qualifying. He's playing the Challenge Tour overseas, which is the European Tour's version of the Web.com Tour. He is in the field with Adam Hadwin. So we have two red and white flags on the board when we get to the Open Championship in 2 weeks, and the opportunity this week at the Greenbrier Classic to add more. Bob spoke with Austin Connolly. We'll hear from Austin coming up next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
We are only 2 weeks away from the year's third major, the oldest major, the Open Championship. It returns to Royal Birkdale for this year's championship, and another Canadian is in the field. Austin Connolly coming through local qualifying and joining Adam Hadwin now as the second Canadian in the field for the Open Championship. He plays the Challenge Tour in Europe. That is the European Tour's version of the Web.com Tour. He had the opportunity to speak to Bob earlier this week.
And joined now by Austin Connolly and the newest qualifier for the Open Championship. How excited are you, Austin, to be playing in the world's oldest major?
Oh, yeah, I'm ecstatic. It's been really just a dream come true to, one, have the opportunity to even qualify, and two, you know, actually accomplish it on the one chance I have for the year. Is just incredible.
So walk us through what happened. I know you got to Royal Cinque-Port where the qualifier was late. You only saw 10 holes. I think it was only your second time on a Lynx golf course, and yet somehow you made it through. Walk us through the experience.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a different type of week for me. I was coming from Scotland. I was playing on the Challenge Tour the previous week. And so I got in on Monday night and just wasn't able to make the course in time. So I ended up playing 10 holes before it got dark and basically just tried to map the course out as well as I could with my caddy. And we were fairly successful, I feel like, in figuring out the lines, at least on the holes that we saw. And it just took a little bit of extra effort during competition to figure out on those holes that we hadn't seen, you know, what is the line, what kind of flight do we want, and where do we want to leave ourselves. We'd been lucky enough to get a glimpse of some of the greens whenever we were able to walk them, but I just hadn't played the holes. And yeah, it was Lynx golf is definitely a different game than, you know, what I'm used to playing in Canada, and really even on the European Tour. We don't play a whole lot of Lynx style golf courses, but just really nice to be able to first year through and end up, you know, getting to the qualifier.
So now you're in, and what's the plan of attack for Royal Birkdale? When are you going to arrive, and are you going to talk to some people beforehand?
Yeah, you know, I might. As of right now, I'm actually taking the rest of this week off. I'm going to try to rest and recover a bit. I've played the last 5 weeks in a row and just kind of need a little bit of downtime. I'm going to actually fly out to Sardinia tomorrow, and I'm going to spend some time in Italy for just kind of vacation before my next event on the Challenge Tour.
That's a nice place to vacation.
Yeah, it's supposed to be incredible. I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, so then after that, we'll just go after that event. We'll fly out Sunday night and go out to Royal Birkdale and hopefully get, you know, two or three good practice rounds in before the event starts.
What are your memories, strongest memories of watching the Open over the years?
Yeah, definitely watching Todd Hamilton win 2004 was incredible. I've had the pleasure of knowing Todd for quite a few years, and just, you know, it's always memorable to see somebody that you know, you know, come away the victor at an event of, you know, that level of prestige. So I would say probably the 2004 Open Championship.
Okay. I mean, you've played in a lot of big tournaments. I know you've played in a lot of different spots all over there. Are you expecting this to kind of be the biggest event you've played in?
Well, it's one of the four majors, so absolutely it's the biggest event I've played in. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, golf is golf, and it's the same game that I play every week and every day. So nothing really changed. I don't anticipate being too rattled out there. It's just, you know, really another week on the links.
that's I guess easier to try and put into to practice. I guess that's the plan, obviously, of attack. What's it been like playing in Europe this year? Because I know you've been splitting your time between the Challenge Tour and the Big Tour, and you've probably worn out your passport and seen a lot of different countries. But what's the experience been like?
Yeah, it's a lot of planes. We kind of hop all over the place over here, but it's really been incredible. I've enjoyed it immensely, and I've been fortunate to play well. And, you know, just really, I look forward to each week as it comes up. You know, we go to so many really neat places and get to experience so many different cultures and so many different types of golf courses. You know, just the events over here are very well run, and they just kind of make you feel like family. So I've really, really enjoyed my time here so far, and really just looking forward to the rest of the year.
Do you think something like this, like getting this cultural experience, this world travel, will end up helping you in the long run? And I mean, obviously the objective is probably to get back to the PGA Tour, but a lot of players like you don't take this route. But some of them who have had success, such as, I guess, most recently Brooks Koepka, kind of talk about the fact that this kind of hardens them up a little bit and makes them a little more worldly, perhaps, to do it this way.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I'd say is the European Tour is a different type of golf than, you know, you get on the PGA Tour or in North America, really. It's much more of a grinder's game, and I think it exposes you to so many more elements, and especially when you throw the travel aspect into it, it's just much more complex, I feel, and that definitely, I think it'll come away, you know, after having this experience for however long it may be. I think I'll come away a much stronger and better player because of it.
Okay. And I know we've asked you this 1,000 times, but just for those people who don't know, just explain your complicated background. I know you have the connection to Nova Scotia with your grandparents, and you grew up playing there. That's the way you've got your Canadian citizenship, correct?
Well, yeah, I got my Canadian citizenship through my dad, who was born in Toronto.
Okay.
And his whole family lives in Nova Scotia. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, growing up playing golf in Nova Scotia, primarily in the summertime. And so we'd always go up and see his family, and yeah, just love it up there. And so I've lived in Texas for virtually my whole life, outside of you know, the summers that I've spent in Canada, up in Clare, Nova Scotia. But it really is. It's been incredible having the support from, you know, my friends and family in Clare. They've just had my back so many times over the years, and just really grateful to have them, you know, in my life.
The Canadian guys on the PGA Tour always talk about, no matter where they play in the States, they're always Canadian fans. Do you get the same thing when you're playing on the European Tour?
I do. Even this last week, I had a Canadian guy follow me around for all 36 holes. You know, the Canadian fans are incredible. They love their golf and love to support their own, which is really nice.
Well, I'm sure you'll probably run into a few more when you get to Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, hopefully I will.
Yeah. Listen, Austin, congratulations and on a wonderful achievement, and we'll look forward to seeing you over at Royal Birkdale.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Bob, this is an interesting one, and obviously good luck to Austin as well as all the Canadians, but good luck to Austin. But you mentioned in the interview there the road, which is a little different road. I guess we'll call it the Brooks Koepka road now, because
yeah,
he was
Peter Uihlein.
Although Uihlein, I guess, still on the road.
Still there, yeah.
Yeah, where Koepka, in a way, has completed the journey, a major champion. Obviously, a long career still to go, but the goal being to be a success on a PGA Tour, which he has obviously done by nailing that major. But Koepka did this road, and sometimes maybe the harder path, there's value to that, so to speak. You will learn something along the way by taking maybe the road less traveled.
I think you get out of your comfort zone, and you challenge yourself a little bit, and as he said in there, different types of golf, lots of travel, certainly lots of different cultures you're going to go through. I mean, that Challenge Tour plays in like Czech Republic. They played in Kazakhstan.
I was going to say, like, if you think watching Golf Channel on weekend mornings and some of the places the European Tour plays is different and unique, is nothing compared to the Challenge.
And speaking of different, unique, for those who have not seen Austin Connolly, he's about the size of one of Brooks Koepka's biceps.
Yes,
he's a tiny little guy. He doesn't hit it very far, but boy, does he hit a ton of fairways. He is a tremendous ball striker. I was talking to Derek Ingram, the national team coach, and he was saying he's probably never seen a guy who can hit it as straight and as consistently straight as him. He said, in fact, one time when they first came to the Team Canada program, he said, you know, we're going to try and give you a program to beef you up a little bit, put a few little muscle on you so you can hit it out of the rough. And he said, why? He says, I never hit it in the rough.
I like that. Good answer. Currently 103 on the Challenge Tour this year. Needs to find the top 15. The top 15 spots at the end of the Challenge Tour season get the promotion, the full-time card to the European Tour.
He's played seven Euro Tours, eight Challenge Tour events. He's had two top 10s on the Euro Tour. So he's got to make a decision now for the rest of the year. Just commit to one or the other.
Yeah, the split is going to just, for 2018, is going to hurt him.
Right.
He might be having fun doing that now or playing tournaments that he really wants to. But in the long run, if the goal is full-time status on the European Tour to eventually get to status on the PGA Tour, I agree with you 1,000%, Bob. He's got to keep his head down and pick one. But who knows what a Cinderella finish at an Open Championship might do for him. And you don't know, right? You get yourself in, the golf ball doesn't know who's hitting it.
I think that tournament, more than any other tournament, lends itself to kind of some unpredictable stuff. Remember Paul Dunne, the Irish amateur, a couple of years ago at St. Andrews? I mean, there's some Todd Hamilton.
Well, I was just going to say, in your interview piece there, he mentioned, when you asked him about a memory, he brought up Todd Hamilton. Now, you said he knows him personally, but you would never hear anyone bring up Todd. But Todd Hamilton, Ben Curtis, like, these stories happen. Curtis was more a weather deal. Remember, he went out like 2-3 hours before the bad stuff came in, posted the number, and backdoored it? Hamilton was out there in the final group.
And in the playoffs.
Yeah, and bumping that hybrid around. Remember that? Bumping that hybrid. Living and dying with the bumping hybrid. All right, on the other side, we're going to do leaderboard updates from around the world of golf. There's some action going on, and Canadians with the opportunity to join the field at the Open Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Quick shout out. I want to thank Ryan LaRose for hosting myself and Dr. Jay Petroff, who's actually a member now out at Whitevale. And Ryan is the head golf professional out there. And Jeff Long, head pro at the Toronto Hunt. We went and played a lovely round of golf yesterday and really impressed with the changes at Whitevale. My first time there since the reno. Gorgeous clubhouse. Golf course is strong and great shape. Thank you. Had a wonderful day. And also shout out to Jeff Long, who put together an incredible member guest for us at the Toronto Hunt on Thursday. And the TSN flag was flying strong on Thursday at the Toronto Hunt.
I heard that.
Yes.
I heard that.
Many top-level executives just I'm incapable. I'm just, you know, I'm like, Come on, that's all you got? No. Yeah. and let's not forget 20 weeks of TaylorMade
right.
and Show Us Your Stripes continues. So we're giving away over $10,000 worth of TaylorMade product. We gave away a set of $1,500 P770 irons 2 weeks ago. We're giving away stuff every week, but you've got to engage on social media. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. Download our podcast from iTunes and like us on Facebook and join our Facebook group. If you do all five things, you have five chances to win each week, as well as a VIP trip to Prince Edward Island at the end of the year.
That's a prize worth right there.
That is. And you get to bring a custom set of TaylorMades with you to PEI with your three friends. So
do you get to take them home as well?
Yeah, and you get okay. to keep them. You get okay. to keep them, and not your friends. As well as Show Us Your Stripes, send us a pic of you decked out in your favorite Adidas gear with the hashtag Show Us Your Stripes to Twitter or Instagram, and have a chance to win a brand new pair of Tour 360s that we're going to give away next week. Adidas Tour 360s. And at the end of the year, for everybody who participates, we're going to give an Adidas wardrobe away. All right, Bob, let's do a quick leaderboard update from around the world of golf. The Greenbrier Classic is the stop on the PGA Tour. This is TPC Old White. This event was washed out last year because of the heavy rains that led to the flood. It's back. Sebastian Munoz with the lead at 12 under par. He has a three-shot lead over Ben Martin and Hudson Swafford, but good Canadian news in this one. We've got Nick Taylor at 7 under, David Hearn at 6 under, Graham Dillette at 6 under, Mackenzie Hughes at 4 under. And if you are in the top 12, you have to be the top four players within the top 12 that have not yet qualified for the British Open. You will get to the British Open. So if we can get some Canadians here inside the top 12, there's an opportunity we could add to Connolly and add to Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, and David Hearn, of course, lost the tournament in the playoff a couple of years yes. back. So he's got good feelings about it. I heard Nick Taylor was playing. He played a brilliant first round. I think he missed one green and one fairway. It was really nice.
And we should mention quickly, Davis Love III is in this one in a tie for fourth. Turning back the clock, he shot 63 on the opening round.
Unbelievable. LPGA Tour is at a new tournament in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And Catherine Kirk has the lead. She had a brilliant 63 yesterday. She's at 13 under. Jamie Green and Sandra Gall are three shots back. Canadians here, Elena Sharp had a great first round. She shot 67. At one point, she made five straight birdies.
Wow.
And she played really well. Brooke Henderson is a slow start, but rallying now as she normally does. She's 71-68. Samantha Richdale also tied for 35 alongside with Brooke. And then a little bit further down is Augusta James, who is the sister of Austin James, who we talked about earlier, who was playing in the Porter Cup.
On the web.com tour, it's the Laycom Health Challenge. Xinjiang Zhang has a tie for lead with Adam Long at 11 under par. That's a one-shot lead. Ryan Yip, the low Canadian, this one. Ryan, 9 under par, only 2 off the lead with 36 holes to go. Also, Corey Connors in this one playing well, T23, 6 under par. And Albin Choi, who came out firing at 66, but struggled in the second round with a 73. Albin now in a tie for 25th at 5 under par.
The European Tour is playing the Irish Open and no longer has the top Irish guy in there with Rory. As we know, he missed the cut. However, the leader, there's two leaders actually tied atop the leaderboard right now. Julian Kane from France and Daniel Im, an American golfer. They're going low today. Scott Hind has posted a 64 along with Julian Kane. He had 64 as well. Lurking some big names. Tommy Fleetwood is a shot back. John Rahm is a shot back. And there's a French golfer here by the name of Ben Hebert. But I don't think it's Ben Hebert, the curler. If you're a curler, you know Ben Hebert was a gold medal winner with Kevin Martin a few years.
And I'm pretty sure he wasn't from France.
No, that's right.
Just throwing it out. I'm not no curling expert. Yeah. Just throwing out it.
Justin Rose also just two shots back.
And again, even with the big name not making the cut, the strength of this field that you just went through there, exceptional. And we're going to see it again next week at the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
Next week, speaking of next week, it is we're Golf Talk Canada will be cut to 60 minutes if you're in a market that gets Golf Talk Canada for 90. If you only get 60 minutes, then you won't notice a difference. It'll be a 1 hour British Open preview special. We'll do a fantasy draft like we always do. Masters was a success for all. I think yours truly won the Masters draft, but it was close. It was tight. Everybody, with the exception of maybe Scully, had a decent Masters. We all were horrible in the U.S. Open. In fact, none of us made it to the weekend. There was terrible. Not a single we couldn't crown a winner. We were pathetic. So there was no Mike Davis Master crowned.
We waved the white flag.
But we did what? So what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to go with our. We're going to pick five players next week. So if you're in a fantasy draft, you're going to want to listen to next week's show. We're going to pick an American. We're going to pick a European. We're going to pick an international. We're going to pick a past champion and a wild card. That's five players. We need three guys to make it to the weekend to make the cut. We're going to use the top four if you got them. And then, of course, the fifth player, tiebreaker if necessary. Highly doubt it will come to that. Just throwing it out there. So let's see if we can do a little better in the Open Championship. Bob, only about a minute and a half here left before we say goodbye to our national audience and continue with Jim Kineski, who is tournament director at the Southern Ontario Open and the Great Lakes Tour. And that's a big one in Southern Ontario happening next week, which has an exemption to PGA Tour Canada this year to the winners. We're going to talk to Jim coming up next. We're still going to do winners, weird and what. But Rory's performance this weekend, the struggles with the putter, is it a standalone like what you mentioned with Canadians coming, or is he in big concern? He missed the cut at the U.S. Open. Are we looking at a back-to-back missed cuts for Rory?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little scary. It's, you know, I don't know what to make of him. He's just not playing good golf right now, and he's got to show something, I think, at the Scottish Open. I mean, I think he's frustrated when you hear him talk afterwards, and I don't know if there's a cause for it. Or if there's an answer to it, but as you said, he's had a few rotating putters in and out of the bag. I thought watching a little bit what I did on the Golf Channel that his short game was pretty average compared to what we normally see. Him and Jason Day, you know, we're not talking about them very much right now.
And we're going to get to that in Winners, Weird and What, funny enough. So thank you so much for listening. If you have 90 minutes of Golf Talk Canada, you're listening on the iHeartRadio app or a few select markets like Toronto and Hamilton. We've got Winners, Weird and What and Southern Ontario Open Talk coming up next. For the rest of you, thank you so much for listening. And remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Zucchino, Weeks, the bonus 30 for those of you listening in Hamilton, 1150, Toronto, 1050, a few other select markets, iHeartRadio app, TSN online.ca. 30 more minutes of Golf Talk Canada. We're going to do Winners, Weird and What still coming up. Lots to get to, but a big one coming up in the Southern Ontario region coming up this week, actually. It is the Great Lakes Tour premier event, July 12th to 15th, the Southern Ontario Open. It's going to be out at Hidden Lake Golf Club. And there's lots to play for here, Bob. We have a purse of $40,000 in this one. And the winner will get an exemption to a PGA Tour Canada event, the Mackenzie Investments Open on the Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada. This is a big deal. This is a strong field.
That's a great perk right there for some of these guys. And some of the players, if you look back at past champions, there's some pretty good names and some players who are PGA Tour Latino America, PGA Tour Canada. They're all sort of on the up and uprise. It's pretty interesting fields.
So setting it up for us now, joining us, the president of the Great Lakes Tour, Jim Kineski. Jim, good morning, man. How's it going?
Good morning. Very well. And you guys?
Good. Are you pumped? Are you excited to get the big one kicked off on the 12th? I guess, you know, guys have been working towards this and trying to get in this field for all season long, really.
Yeah, I mean, as we get closer, it's things start to hit you, and you got to do your checklist and make sure that everything is ready to go. But when it does get going, I mean, we get just as excited as the players in the field. So, and again, as you said, there's lots to play for this week, and I guarantee you somebody's going to have a great week and it's going to catapult them on to something even bigger like we've seen in the past. So
I was looking down the list of qualified players already, Jim, and there's some interesting names in there, some very recognizable names for Canadian golf fans, for Southern Ontario golf fans. I mean, people like Derek Gillespie, I know, who's won this before, Chris Hemric, former Ontario amateur champion, and a lot of international players as well in this field. How do these guys go about getting in here? Give us the rundown on that.
Well, pretty much it's member driven. So it's a lot of our Great Lakes Tour members that we see, you know, right from day one in the season, and then all the way through to Circuit Canada Pro Tour members, so players from Quebec. But we also get a lot of interest from those players up in the Northeast United States who play all the state opens. So we get some draw from that as well. And this is really the start of the state open season. You know, the New England State Open, the Vermont Open, you know, so these players are excited to, not only that, excited to play in the Southern Ontario Open, but it's also that draw of that Mackenzie Tour exemption for the following week that are bringing a lot of these players up as well, so.
Jim, it's kind of interesting because, you know, obviously the natural is to look for a young up-and-comer or maybe a name you recognize from another tour and someone with the opportunity to maybe move forward and use this as a springboard into something bigger. And I know that's, you know, what you guys pride yourself on, having a tour that, you know, has an opportunity for guys to develop and work on their games and promote their career. However, this is at the new course at Hidden Lake for the sixth time, I believe, in a row. The Southern Ontario Open's been there. And there's a certain 62-year-old gentleman. Is he 62 years old? And he is a 9-time club champion, Lars, who runs the Toronto Golf Show. And he's in the field at the Southern Ontario Open, correct?
He is in the field, and it's a great local story. I know the golf course over there is really getting behind him, and he's playing really good golf right now. As I said, last year, I mean, we had a discussion yesterday there a little bit, but last year he shot 62 on the old course, but it was still a 62, and I believe he was 60 or 61 years old at the time. I have to confirm his age. I know he's in his 60s, but it's quite a story, and for him to commit to the event and put his game up against some of these, you know, top players in Canadian golf and even international. I mean, these U.S. players coming in are very, very good players themselves. So, Lars is going to have a good test of golf for him next week.
The interesting thing, too, is Lars is one of the amateurs in here, and this is truly an open golf tournament. I know the bulk of the field is made up of professionals, but I noticed a few amateur golfers who have entered as well here. So it truly is an open, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, it's one of only a couple in Ontario that we know of, if not the only open, you know, golf tournament, you know, for pros and elite amateurs within Ontario. Obviously, the Canadian Open is in our backyard this year too. But you know, it's 6 years of open golf, and a lot of amateurs have participated, and some really, really good amateurs in the past. We always crown a low amateur, which is, we like to recognize the solid play from our best amateur players.
Jim, obviously spectators welcome to this one, so if you want to see some great golf, get out to Hidden Lake. If you want to see some premier players in the area shoot some great scores, it's a great place to catch up. But if you're interested in following the action and you can't get out there, what's the best way to do it? Twitter?
We'll be on Twitter. Best place would be the Great Lakes Tour feed, which is at Great Lakes Tour. We also have our website, which is southernontarioopen.ca, so all the information and live scoring will be on that site. And, you know, Hidden Lake is it's a great location and easy to get to, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's in the best shape we have seen it in the 6 years. It's just been that kind of spring and summer here in Ontario, and it's players are going to be in for a treat with that golf course.
Awesome. That's great. It's going to be an exciting week. July 12th, it kicks off for the Southern Ontario Open. And if you're just out there and you're a listening audience and you're a competitive player and looking for a place to play and maybe challenge your skills a bit and develop a bit, go to greatlakestour.com if you want more information on the tour itself in general, where the tour goes and how you can participate. Jim, good luck this week, and thanks for taking time to join us.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Bob.
Great Lakes Tour, Southern Ontario Open, and it's just amazing to me, Bob, and you know, we say this all the time, but man, like it's so different today. Like, you could pull the 3,000th ranked player in the world from one corner of the universe and then go shoot 62 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it.
It's funny. It was, you know, I know when they sort of created this one, the Southern Ontario Open, I think they were going to try and call it the Ontario Open, but that was, I think, locked up or something. And you go back to the old Ontario Open days when you had guys like Gary Cowan playing George Knutson down the stretch in some of those events. And this is a great way to kind of bring that type of legacy back. And you'll look down this list 15, 20 years from now, and you'll see guys who were probably PGA Tour players or have made a mark in the world of golf somewhere, some way by playing on the tour. As you say, you don't know who they are right now, but they are so good and so talented.
Yeah, it seems to be a theme for today's show. You got to start somewhere, right? We talked about Porter Cup earlier and names like Duvall and Mickelson and happening again this week, Southern Ontario. So good luck, Jim, and have a great week. On the other side, we're going to do Winners, What, and Weird and What. It's a late edition of 3Dub. And I have a surprise winner, Bob, this week.
Are you going to go on a rant, by the way?
No rant this week. I don't know. It might turn into a rant. I can never say no rant.
I'm kind of disappointed.
But I am going to select a winner that has never been a winner on this show, ever.
Right.
Ever.
You
TV or
this.
Radio.
This is worth tuning in for, folks. just hang on through the commercial break because you'll want to hear this.
The only thing more shocking than this would be me like picking Ian Poulter as a winner, which ain't going to happen. But all right, we'll do it next. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. All right, winners, weird or what, late edition 3Dub, and Bob, you have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right. Listen, this week we had a remarkable performance, and this is my winner. Ellie Zarek, who is the younger sister of Maddie Zarek, who we know who is one of the elite amateurs and on the national team program. Well, Ellie is 15 years old. She played this week at the Investors Group Ontario Junior Girls Championship. Not only did she win the championship, but she in the third round, she set a course record at the Elmira Golf Club. And that gave her a 9-shot lead heading into the final round. And she only won it by 15. Just the 15-shot win. That's unbelievable.
That's nuts.
Unbelievable.
I don't care. Any golf tournament, anywhere on any planet, 15 shots. Tiger-esque.
And I love the fact that she actually had a bogey and a double in her final round and still managed to win by 15 shots. So congratulations to Ellie Zarek. I think we'll be hearing more from her. She's from London, Ontario. My weird this week took place on the web.com tour. So Andrew Yun is a young player on the tour, and as players, you know, do, they when they hit a ball and it goes in the crowd and hits someone, they usually give them a ball or a signed glove. I don't know if you saw Phil Mickelson yesterday. He hit two people.
Phil carries stacks of hundreds too to hand.
Yeah,
out,
exactly. Remember he gave his watch to somebody one
awesome.
Time?
Yeah, here's a $20,000 Rolex.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Andrew Yun decided that after the person that he hit was a little shaken up, he said, well, what can I do? Well, I'll give you a glove. So he signed this glove, handed it over, and then walked over to start playing his next shot after everything had settled down a little bit and realized, oh, wait a minute, I don't have any more gloves. So he had to go back to the person he hit and ask for the glove back.
Oh, my God.
And he played the rest of the round with his glove that he had signed on it. And so that's kind of life on the web.com.
Oh, that is good.
The pan apparently did get the glove at the end of the day.
If you hang on for 3 more hours, you can have this glove.
That's right. Just sit here. I'll come back. I promise I won't hit you next time either way. My what is what a performance by two guys out at Moon Lake Golf Club out in Saskatoon. Moon Lake, by the way, I think might be the busiest golf course on the planet, certainly in Canada. I think they do something like 70,000 rounds a year because they have stays light out there.
Stays light, but still 5-month season though.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Moon Lake, great little golf course out there, municipal. So Gary Hanke and Bruce Baer were playing there on Friday. They get up on the tee, and Hanke walks out, hits his wedge on the 131-yard eighth hole, knocks it in the cup, hole in one. So Baer, Bruce Baer, says to him, says, "You know what? It's hard to go up there after a ball goes in the hole like that." He said, "I said, boy, that'd be hard to follow up." Well, he did. He followed up. He knocked it in the hole.
What are the odds?
Back? Yeah, I don't know.
It must be astronomical. Like, can they even crunch a number like that?
Back to back hole in ones.
Wow,
it's remarkable. Now, I will tell you something. At my golf course at Weston Golf Club, I know over the year, long years, it's happened twice, and one was in a match.
Come on.
Can you imagine having a match with an ace?
If that doesn't tell you the power of the mind, I don't know what will.
It's crazy. Anyway, Mark, I'm going to pass it over to you. You now have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, Bob, my winner this week is me.
What?
Yes, because if you've been following this soap opera of the belly putter for 2.5 years, or the anchoring of the putter, it has come to a whole new level of clarity for me. Brandel Chamblee has been ripping apart the USGA for about a week now, since the US Senior Open, where there was clear footage, in my opinion, and a lot of players' opinion, a lot of golf fans' opinion, that Bernhard Langer, and to some degree Scott McCarron as well, that there was video evidence of what clearly appears to be an anchored stroke, where the hand is resting on the chest and connecting to the putter, etc. Well, Bernhard Langer and Scott McCarron have come out with a statement following Brandel Chamblee, suggesting that the enforcement of this law is appalling, is the words that Chamblee used. McCarron and Langer defended themselves, said they met with the USGA, they've called penalties on themselves. I'm not questioning their integrity at this point. I'm talking about the USGA. USGA says, no, we have no problem with this. And they've now gone into like further interpretation of the rule, where the hand can graze the body, you can touch the shirt. So we're talking now millimeters. We are talking millimeters from the end of your putter to your chest, your stomach, your buttocks, your forehead, your earlobe, your nose, anywhere you'd like to put it. I'm the winner because I can't putt these days. So guess who's going back to his belly putter as of today and going to make sure that I've got like a 2 millimeter gap between my gut and the end of that putter, Bob?
You told me you weren't going on a rant. But here you are, ranting once again. I would go out there 100%. And you know what? I mean, I know you play in some competitions and stuff, so you can't quite do that. But you're right. It's the interpretation that these guys are getting away with. It's the rule. It's the problem. The way the rule is written is the problem.
It is. It is a problem. And until they rewrite that rule, you know, but here we are again.
Wouldn't it be easier to say your putter can't be any longer than 35 inches?
That's it. 2.5 years ago, I said this was going to come. I told you so. Next thing's going to be a fist fight. When this happens between Pat Perez and Vijay Singh,
Yeah. Look
out. All right, my weird this week is we're 2 weeks away from the British Open. I'm looking at the odds here. We had Dustin Johnson 9-1, Rory McIlroy 9-1, Jordan Spieth 9-1. Now, Jordan Spieth has won recently, but really it was a hideous victory. One of the ugliest wins I've seen in a long time. McIlroy missing the cut. DJ kind of hasn't been doing much as
kind of MIA for a little while.
Yeah.
Right?
Where are the big names in the world of golf as we are 2 weeks away? And will the trend continue, Bob? It just keeps getting weird. How many? What are we, eight now? Seven or eight first timers in a row?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So how deep can this trend go of first-timers in majors? I'm telling you right now, my gut says it keeps going. I think when we get to Royal Birkdale in 2 weeks, we're going to have another first-time major champion.
Certainly wouldn't surprise anybody. I think that there's enough quality out there in players who haven't won, and the players who are major champions are not showing perfect form yet. So you're right.
Now, LPGA Tour players do after retirement when they're trying to look into their second phase of their career?
They play golf? I don't know.
Not for some. Miss Natalie Gulbis, who has made Nevada home for quite some time.
Yeah.
I know she bounced back and forth from Florida for a while there, but she's always been entrenched in the Nevada golf community around Lake Las Vegas, etc. She called that home for many years. She spoke at President Trump's
inauguration.
Convention.
Yeah.
So she's been in politics. She is a Republican. Natalie Gulbis has decided to run for Republican Representative Jackie Rosen's seat in Congress. In this, I guess Jackie is retiring or something like, I don't know how this officially works in the U.S., but she's running, she's going to run as a Republican the next go around and throw her hat into the political ring.
I think she's about 90% sure she's going to do it. Now, apparently she was in Washington, wasn't she?
Yes, yes, the pick is right there in Washington. It might even be in the back of the White House, that photograph taken.
Well, she does know Trump, obviously. Yeah, they were on, now, she was on The Apprentice, right?
Right. Now, I haven't been to the White House for dinner in many years. So I'm not quite sure if that's exactly where this photo was taken. But this is what I do know about my what. Whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, no matter where your political position is, Natalie Galbus could swing a few votes. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm pretty sure, Bob, she is would be the only congressman.
Person,
however you say it. Who could pull off a bikini swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, well, that's true. I haven't looked through the congressional ranks to see who else is there, but
it's just throw it a guess. But, yeah, it's just kind of a broad.
As long as we don't see Trump in a bathing suit edition, that'd be fine.
That comb over isn't big enough for that. That comb over is not big enough for that. Bob, what's on the radar this week? We only have a few minutes wrapping up today's show. And next week, we have our Fantasy British Open show.
Yeah, we've got, we've got some Canadians in the hunt to try and grab one of those spots. And by the way, we talked about the fact that, it's the top four inside the top 12.
Who are not already in.
And next week.
Yes.
So we got 2 weeks to do that. So hopefully we can get some more Canadian content in there. I know you're going to be down at the John Deere calling that. So maybe you could, kick a few balls out of the rough into the fairway for our Canadian guys. That would be good.
Are you going to play a little? Did you play it all this week?
Yeah, I got a couple of games this week. I played once, and I got a couple of games going. My game is actually, for the first time in a long time, is actually coming around, which is not bad.
I know you're shooting some good numbers. So you're shooting good numbers, and you're actually putting the odd, big number on the card and still shooting good numbers.
Still surviving, so that's good for me. And then, we got a couple of tournaments, couple of events this week that we're going to play in. Our friends from Asante.
Yes.
So I know you've seen the Asante commercials that I've been doing this year. We're going to go out and golf with them this week out of Eagle's Nest, so that'll be fun.
So Eagle's Nest, I'm going to say that is probably my favorite public golf course in the province.
It's a great golf course.
It is so good. It's such a good, what about a Canadian Open in Eagle's Nest?
I took Stephen Ames out there about 8 years ago. He played from 1 foot off the back.
Yeah.
And he said, there's no doubt this could hold it. I guess it's with every golf course, it's just, can it handle everything else? There's lots of golf courses that can host the Canadian Open. It's just the traveling circus with corporate tents and all that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It has some vast space for stuff like that. You've got infrastructure relatively close to the area. We're not too far outside, I'm just thinking, man, we're going to, we could get another one at Glen Abbey next year, maybe even the following, but eventually that is it at Glen Abbey.
Right.
We know that.
That's right.
We got to start looking at some other golf courses. To me, that's the Eagle's Nest absolute no-brainer.
But I think so. I think that's a good shot.
All right, Bob, next week our British Open Fantasy Show, we'll do it here on Golf Talk Canada, get you set for the year's third major. And, of course, this week, Golf Talk Canada Television, 1 o'clock Wednesday, TSN4. I'll see you for TV, Bob. Thanks for doing this.
Sounds good.
Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.